I want you to try something for a second. It might feel a little weird, but just go with me on this. I want you to imagine reaching into your pocket right now and finding, well, absolutely nothing. No glowing rectangle, no glass slab that you have to tap and swipe 200 times a day.
For most people listening, that just sounds like a nightmare. You know, it sounds like leaving the house without your keys or your wallet.
Exactly. We've spent, what, the last 20 years hunching over these little screens. They're the center of our universe. But imagine walking down the street, head up, hands in your pockets, completely connected, but you never once look down.
That sounds like science fiction. I mean, that's the promise we were sold in every futuristic movie from, like, the 2010s that just never quite happened.
Well, today we are not talking about movies. We're talking about right now. It is January 29th, 2026, and we are diving deep into a stack of news sources that have just reviewed the Orion V2 from Meta.
The Orion. This has been the white whale of the tech industry. Mark Zuckerberg has been hinting at this for, what, half a decade? And the question is simple. Is this just another overpriced gadget, or are we actually looking at the iPhone of 2007?
That is the mission for this deep dive. Is this the device that finally kills the smartphone? And I have to be honest with you, looking at the photos, my first reaction was just confusion, because I was expecting a helmet.
Right. You're expecting the ski goggle look. We've all been conditioned to think computer on your face equals this, you know, giant plastic box.
Yes. Something that straps to your head, ruins your hair, and cuts off your circulation. But this just looks like glasses.
And that is the massive shift. We are moving from mixed reality, which is those big headsets, to true augmented reality. And the form factor is like the first miracle here.
The source describes them as looking like grandfather's reading glasses. Yeah. Or maybe a thick pair of Ray-Ban Wayfarers.
Yeah, they worked with Ray-Ban again. And that wasn't just for branding. It was a psychological choice. Mm-hmm. They needed these to look non-threatening. They've got that matte black fesh, the classic D-frame. If you saw someone wearing them, you might just think they have a strong prescription.
But the thing in the spec sheet that just blew my mind was the weight. 98 grams. I had to read that twice.
To put that in perspective, you remember the Apple Vision Pro launch a couple of years back?
Vaguely. I mostly remember the memes about people with red marks on their foreheads.
Well, that thing weighed around 650 grams. Mm. It was over a pound hanging off the front of your face. You felt it.
No way.
Yeah. After 45 minutes, your neck knew about it. Orion is 98 grams.
Which means you can actually wear them. Not just for a 20-minute demo, but for actual life.
Precisely. You can put them on in the morning and technically forget they're there. But, and this is a huge but, getting it down to 98 grams required a massive sacrifice.
There's always a catch. What is it?
Well, they crammed 7 cameras, eye trackers, and speakers into that frame. But they ran out of room. They couldn't fit the engine.
The engine.
The battery and the main processor. If they put those in the glasses, they'd burn your temples and weigh 3 times as much. So they introduced the puck.
The compute puck. Okay. It sounds like something from a hockey game.
It's a sleek, curved device about the size of a stack of coasters that sits in your pocket. It houses all the heavy stuff.
So wait, you're telling me this wireless future still involves me being tethered to a brick in my pocket?
Wirelessly tethered. There's no cable running up your shirt. But yes, the glasses are basically a paperweight without the puck nearby. It's a compromise. You get the lightweight glasses, but you haven't actually lost the rectangle in your pocket.
Okay, so we haven't totally escaped the pocket brick. I guess I can live with that if the experience is good. Let's talk about what happens when you put them on, because the reviews make a huge deal about this true see-through thing.
This is critical. If you wear a VR headset, you are looking at screens. Cameras on the outside capture the world and play it back to your eyes.
Which means your brain always knows it's fake, right? There's that tiny bit of motion blur. It's not quite right.
Exactly. It's video pass-through. Orion is different. The lenses are actually transparent. You are looking at the real world. But here's the kicker. Those lenses aren't made of glass.
The source says silicon carbide. Now, I'm not a material scientist, but isn't that what they use in, like, race cars?
In EV chips and parts for space rockets, yes.
Yeah.
It is an incredibly exotic, incredibly hard material.
So why on earth would you put it in a pair of glasses? Is it just to be fancy?
It's purely physics. They needed a material with an insanely high refractive index.
Okay, hold on. You're going to have to break that down for me. Refractive index. Why do I care about that?
Think of it as how aggressively a material can bend light. Meta needs to shoot light from the arm of the glasses into your eye. With normal glass, you can only bend light so much. So you end up with that postage stamp effect.
I've seen that, where the hologram is just a tiny square in the middle of your vision, and if you turn your head, it gets cut off.
Exactly. It breaks the illusion. Silicon carbide lets them bend light at such extreme angles that they can achieve a 70-degree field of view.
70 degrees. What does that mean in real life?
It means the digital content fills your peripheral vision. You can put a 100-inch cinema screen on your wall, and when you turn your head, it's still there. It wraps around you.
That is wild. But how does the image even get into the lens? The source says the projectors are the size of a grain of rice.
Micro-LED projectors. Tiny things hidden in the arms of the glasses. They fire light into the edge of that silicon carbide lens. And then the lens uses something called waveguide architecture.
Waveguides? I've heard that term. Is it like a mirror?
Not exactly. Imagine billions of nanoscale channels etched inside the lens, like invisible fiber optic cables or a microscopic pinball machine. They catch the light, bounce it around inside the lens, and then release it precisely in front of your pupil.
It's basically controlled magic.
And in this V2 model, they solve the biggest problem with holograms, the sun.
Right. Usually AR looks like a ghost if you go outside.
These hit 5,000 nits of brightness. You can stand on a beach at high noon, look at a floating email, and it looks solid. It fights the sun and wins.
So we have glasses that look normal-ish, weigh nothing, and project solid holograms. But here's where I get skeptical. How do I control it? Because if I have to walk around waving my arms in the air like some kind of invisible orchestra conductor, I'm out. That's the glass hole problem.
That is the social acceptability hurdle. And honestly, the solution is the most cyberpunk thing I have ever heard of. It's the EMG wristband.
The mind-reading band. I saw this in the notes and I got a little shiver.
Well, technically it's electromyography, but the experience, it feels like mind-reading.
How does it work? Is it scanning my actual brain waves?
Not the brain directly. It scans the electrical signals your brain sends to your hand. So think about clicking a mouse. Your brain fires a signal down your arm to the muscles in your index finger.
Right. Basic biology.
This wristband intercepts that signal at the wrist. It catches the command before your finger even moves.
So I don't actually have to move my finger.
You can do a micro twitch, a movement so small no one else can see it. Or with practice, you just intend to move.
That is incredible and a little creepy.
The source calls it digital telepathy. It means you can keep your hands in your pockets. You could be walking down the street, and with these tiny invisible twitches, you are scrolling through messages, clicking links, typing.
See, that changes everything. No more tapping on a screen and no more yelling, "Hey, computer," on a crowded bus. It's invisible.
It makes the interaction private. You could be sitting at dinner and secretly dismissing notifications without breaking eye contact.
Which is both a superpower and a whole new level of rude, but at least it doesn't look rude.
Exactly. It solves the interface problem.
Yeah.
But the hardware is only half the story. The source spends a lot of time on Horizon OS 2.0, because what is it actually like to live inside this thing for a week?
The week in the life section was fascinating. The feature that stuck out to me was spatial anchoring.
This is the killer app.
Mm.
The ability to nail a digital object to a physical spot in the real world.
Give me an example of how that actually works.
Okay, so you open a YouTube window, you place it on the wall above your kitchen sink. The glasses remember that exact location. You can leave, go to work, come back 8 hours later, and that YouTube window is still there waiting for you.
It's like you can decorate your physical world with digital things.
Precisely. You can have a digital photo frame on your desk that to you looks real, but to anyone else, the desk is empty.
That's wild. But the utility is undeniable. The cooking example in the review was really cool.
Yes. The AI vision is always running. You look at a pot and a digital timer appears, hovering right over that burner. You look at the cutting board and the next step of the recipe floats next to the onions.
And then there's navigation.
Directional arrows painted right onto the pavement.
Like a racing video game.
Exactly. You never have to look down at a map. You just follow the green line.
But the one that really felt like the future was the codec avatars.
This is the antidote to Zoom fatigue. The source describes a meeting with a colleague from London. But in the glasses, they appeared to be sitting on the sofa right opposite the user. Photorealistically.
Not a cartoon. Not those legless Wii characters.
No, photorealistic. The review said it was startling. The lighting, the skin texture. Your brain just registers them as present.
So you're sitting there talking to a hologram and it feels like they're actually there. That must connect back to the AI layer, right?
They call it contextual AI. The example was looking at an open fridge. You just ask, what can I cook?
Yeah.
The AI identifies the milk, the eggs, the spinach, and projects a recipe for an omelet right there on the shelf.
It's helpful, sure, but this brings us to the bigger picture. This is a war of philosophies.
Oh, absolutely. 2026 is a battleground between two very different visions, Apple with the Vision Pro Gen 2 and Meta with Orion.
And they are fundamentally different.
Apple's philosophy is VR, high-fidelity immersion, creating a perfect, controlled environment. It's great for movies or focused work, but it isolates you.
Even with that eyesight feature where it shows your eyes on the outside?
Yeah, but it's still a screen of their eyes.
Yeah.
Meta's philosophy with Orion is connection. Because the glass is transparent, people see your actual eyes, your pupils. There's no barrier.
And the source brings up the dork factor.
Which is a very real technical metric.
It really is. Google Glass failed in 2013 because it was creepy. It had that camera sticking out. It signaled, I am recording you.
Right. It created a social divide. Orion, by looking like Ray-Bans, is trying to bypass that. It wants to be a phone replacement for daily life, not just a home entertainment device.
Let's not drink the Kool-Aid too hard here. I feel like we're getting swept up in the sci-fi of it all, the reality check, the Achilles heel.
Far from it. If you are looking for a reason not to buy these, just start with the battery.
The puck.
The puck only lasts 3 to 4 hours of continuous active use.
3 to 4 hours?
Yeah.
That's not a work day. That's not even a long movie. That's bad.
It's a massive limitation. If you want all-day use, you're carrying power banks. And if you leave the puck at home, the glasses are a screenless brick.
So we haven't actually eliminated the dependency on charging. And what about reading text?
You can, but the source warns against it. The field of view is great, but the resolution isn't quite retina quality yet. Small text can be straining over time.
And then there's the elephant in the room. The price, I'm scared to ask.
This is the painful part. The manufacturing cost, just to make one pair, is estimated at around $3,000.
Wait, $3,000 just to make it, not the retail price. So it must sell for, what, $5,000?
Currently, it's a prosumer device, a luxury toy for developers. You can't just walk into a store and pick these up for $500. Meta's goal is a $1,000 price point, but that's a 2028 or 2029 target.
So right now, this isn't for everyone. It's for the pioneers.
Exactly. But that leads us to the verdict. The source calls Orion the iPhone of 2007.
I love that comparison because people forget the original iPhone was actually kind of terrible in some ways.
It was. No 3G, bad camera, no app store. A BlackBerry was technically a better productivity tool.
Yo, but when you held the iPhone, you just knew. You knew the BlackBerry was dead even if BlackBerry didn't know it yet.
And that is exactly where we are with Orion. It is flawed. It's expensive. The battery life is laughable. But when you put them on, you see the inevitable future.
The source has this great line. It proves smartphones are just a temporary bridge technology. That's a heavy thought.
It is. We won't throw away our phones in 2027. But for the first time, we can clearly see the day when we will. The whole form factor of looking down, hunching over, scrolling with a thumb, that's going to become obsolete.
It's a wild time to be alive. But before we wrap up, I want to leave our listener with the question from the source, because it's a good one.
It is. The question is, are you willing to sacrifice privacy for superpowers?
Because, let's be real, these glasses are mapping your home. They are listening to your requests. They know who you're meeting with.
And unlike a phone, which sits in your pocket, these see everything you see. It is the ultimate surveillance device, worn voluntarily on your face.
And the second part of the question, do you think wearing these in public is cool or cringe? That's the real test, doesn't it?
I think the answer to that changes every 6 months. Right now, you're probably that guy. In 2 years, you might be the only one not wearing them.
That is a terrifying and exciting thought. We want to hear from you. Would you wear them? Are you ready to ditch the screen?
Or are you holding on to your rectangle for dear life?
Thanks for diving in with us today. Until next time, keep your eyes up, or I guess keep your eyes through the glass.
See you in the future.